98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Publicly, nobody on the Cardinals is going to talk bad about Kyler Murray because voluntary workouts are voluntary, because they aren't that important. Except J.J. Watt is there, Buda Baker is there, it seems pretty important to them, and for a team that's going to miss DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games, for a team that crab staggered to the finish line and flamed out in the playoffs, Murray's absence is something that could have been avoided. Now, Murray is partially responsible. As much as he's tried to make nice lately, restoring his Instagram account, dropping off a check at charity functions, going to the UFC Phoenix with teammates, he's also being somewhat duplicitous. I mean, he vowed he was 100% committed to giving the Cardinals his very best. But if that were true, wouldn't he be here now, trusting the team will ultimately make good with him? He surely could use the reps and the chance to lead, the chance to make his own statement of sacrifice to others. But the truth is what the truth has always been. Murray wants the money, does not matter from whom. But the Cardinals are playing a far more dangerous game. If they're going to pay him, as so many NFL insiders insist, why haven't they? Is it clapback for all the firestorm drama Murray's agent caused a few months ago? If so, the Cardinals are letting their emotions get in the way of their business, and that's not good. It's also so Phoenix, a world where the Diamondbacks part ways with Max Scherzer and Paul Goldschmidt because they can't afford it, where the Suns might break up a young core of talent because they can't afford it, where the Cardinals might have sticker shock with a player who has twice flirted with an MVP award. I am so sick of miserly shenanigans and the can't afford it-itis that has too often lowered the ceiling on all of us Valley sports fans. So memo to the Cardinals, pay that man-child his money, and let's all live a little. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury affordable with two great locations and one great experience. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Normally, I would say it's not a big deal. No impact, right? Like these quarterbacks. But with Arizona, there's not only this pending contract, or there's sort of pending dispute, rather, but there's also the fact that because they're missing DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games of the season, there's more pressure than ever on both Kyler and Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach, to figure out what the offense is going to look like. I mean, I know he played college football with Marquise Hollywood Brown, but you're integrating him into an offense that should look pretty different than it did without Hopkins, and of course the rookie tight end and the first draft pick, Trey McBride. So I think having Kyler this season is more crucial than ever.
Mina Kimes, ESPN, kind of agreeing with, I think, the way we've laid it out today. It's not a zero on the importance scale that Kyler Murray's not there. It's not at 100. It's somewhere in the middle. And you said probably right around 50. The chemistry, that can be built. And you know, if Kyler Murray had showed up, that would be something that would be applauded by the organization.
Oh, yeah.
By the, hey, here's a guy who wants a new contract, but he's putting that aside because it's important for him to build chemistry.
Yeah.
And that isn't happening. Now, you brought up something in the blast, too, about fully committed. Go back to March 24th when Kyler Murray dropped off said check at the charity function and was asked about his commitment to the Cardinals.
No, I'm an Arizona Cardinal. You know, I've done nothing but, you know, give my all to the Cardinals. I will continue to do that. So I'm not really too worried about my future as a Cardinal.
You heard Max Starks' reaction to him not being there. Again, a guy who spent 10 years in the league, kind of turned off by this. You can't say on March 24th, I'm fully committed to the Cardinals and I'll continue to do that. I do want my money.
Yeah, and this is really the idea of it being a big deal, not necessarily, but the fact that Hollywood Brown isn't here. And you know what it almost feels like to me, and I'm just spitballing here, that this is clearly a Michael Bidwill decision, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think Steve Keim probably told Kyler and or Hollywood, you two just keep working out together, build what you're going to build, and then we'll see you in a couple of weeks. But Hollywood Brown's got to get integrated with this team. And if you're the wide receivers on the Cardinals now, you're catching passes from Colt McCoy and Kyler Murray's off working out with Hollywood Brown. It's just weird, man. Mm-hmm.
Especially because Hollywood Brown, the first 6 weeks of the season, is going to be the guy.
Yeah. So do you want him here or there? Do you want him working out with Kyler, who's not showing up? Or do you want him working? And if Kyler's working out there with him, why can't they both work out here?
Yeah. And
come
and
here.
Not.
Because, right. Because that would be a show of weakness. I don't know, Matt. It's just
not unexpectedly. Kyler was the talk of the first day of OTAs for anybody who had a microphone in front of their face. And Zach mm-hmm. Ertz, he was asked yesterday, "Hey, do you talk to your quarterback?"
Yeah, I mean, we talk every now and then. We went to that one fight. We happened to be there together, and he's just doing his thing. You know, a lot of the business stuff. As a player, as a friend, you just want to stay out of. You want to support them for what they're going through. Obviously, it's not easy, whatever is going on, whether it be him, whether it be some of the other guys. You just try and be the best friend you can be for them. If they want your opinion, they'll ask. If they don't, that's fine too. But he seems like he's in a good place, and I know he's working his butt off to be the best quarterback he can be for this team.
Eno Benjamin on with Wolf and Luke yesterday. Kyler not being at OTAs.
Right now, I wouldn't say there's too much of a factor, just everyone think about him. There's been a couple players who've been out to Dallas to go work out with Kyler. He seems like he's in a really good mood, and he can't wait to get back, actually.
Michael Irvin from NFL.
Wait. What was that last thing
can't
he just
wait.
Said? What did he just say?
Can't wait to get back? That's not what Michael Irvin said yesterday on NFL Network. Listen to what the former Cowboy receiver said.
What's going to happen with my boy right here, Kyler Murray? I was sitting with him at the basketball game down in Dallas. He still says he's not coming to camp without his money. So they have so many issues to take care of in Arizona with that kind of schedule. A poor start can lead to a poor season.
Yeah, they can't have a poor start.
Ugh.
Yeah, and I think that there's the truth of it.
Yeah.
He's not coming without his money.
Now, he said not coming to camp without
his
money.
Right. I know. And I think that's accurate.
But as I predicted, the deal will come down on July 15th. What's the first day of training camp?
July 14th. That's a good guess. That's a really no. That's June. I'm sorry.
The mandatory.
June is the mandatory. June
yeah, I think
14th
later in July is when the training camp will get underway.
Yeah,
So if he signed on June 13th, all of this could have been avoided. He could be here. You could sign. What's the difference between now and 3 weeks from now?
3 weeks.
This is not going to do it.
Right.
The checks haven't cleared yet.
And then you wonder just how much they trust Kyler Murray to play football late in seasons. Because you go back to last year and the lingering injury and the reports that, the Cardinals expect him back. Yeah. Oh, well, he's not. Oh, look, Kyler doesn't have his hair braided. He's not playing this weekend.
Yeah, there's always people reading into stuff like that.
Oh,
you're exactly right. Arizona Sports and True Spec Golf are teeing up Dad this Father's Day. Just text Dad to 620-620 for your chance to win a full bag of custom-fit clubs courtesy of True Spec Golf. That's Dad, D-A-D, to 620-620. Coming up next, Cardinals veteran leader that was at OTA's Day 1, Budda Baker. He spoke to the media, had lots of ground to cover. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We're trying to get back to way past what we did last year and you know, of course, 2 years ago. But, of course, for us, we're just taking it one day at a time, you know, 1 week at a time. And if we can do that, you know, we'll win. You know, you guys saw us do that the first, you know, 8-9 games of last year, and I felt like guys possibly might have got comfortable, you know, a lot of headlines, a lot of guys, you know, a lot of wins, you know, and all that type of stuff. But it's up to, you know, us as professionals to, you know, ignore the noise and just to take it 1 week at a time, because if we do, you know, we believe we're a great football team, and this year, I think we're going to be a way better team than we were last year.
That's Budda Baker, optimistic about 2022. Star safety for the Arizona Cardinals, one of the team leaders, maybe the team leader now on the defensive side of the ball. Considering where he is in his career, considering his tenure with the Arizona Cardinals, it would be hard to deny him that he is the leader of that defense. And, you know, they got one of the best safety tandems in the NFL, Bick, but to Buddha's point, and I appreciate the optimism, and everybody should be optimistic in late May going into a OTAs in an NFL season. I don't share that same optimism that they're going to be better than last year. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Why would they be?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the gaps that they still have in terms of positions of need on this team, edge rusher, you know, could they actually use another wide receiver at this point without DeAndre Hopkins for 6 weeks? You can make an argument. Cornerback position continues to be something that's pointed out as a real weakness on this team.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things considered, you're right to ask the question, why would they be?
The only way they would be is if Kyler Murray took the leap to an MVP, a legit MVP candidate for an entire season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's dead on accurate. Which, again, is ridiculous because that's the guy you're choosing not to pay. He's the guy that's going to make a difference between a potential Super Bowl run and a disastrous season, and yet he's the guy that we're debating on paying. Okay, let me get back on point here. I do agree with you. I look at that defense and I say to myself, all right, Dennis Gardeck is saying he was not fully healthy last year. Are we really to believe Dennis Gardeck is that kind of pass rush generator? I mean, is this what we're – are we really relying on Victor Dimukeji, Devon Kennard to rush the passer in wake of Chandler Jones? This cornerback group, when you talk about the back end of the Cardinal defense, they did real well for about 10 weeks and 11 weeks, and then it all started to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Their collection of cornerbacks right now, if you look up some of their analytic rankings, they are among the worst cornerback groups in football. Now, that doesn't mean that's who they are, because analytics can be misleading. So you're telling me you've got a team with a diminished pass rush and a very vulnerable secondary and linebackers who are inexperienced, who are supposedly going to grow up overnight, and there's no stability of Jordan Hicks left here. And so are you really going to stop anybody? And that's a concern of mine going into this. And I've got a lot of respect for Vance Joseph. I've come full circle on Vance. I think he's very good at what he does, and I think he can generate and muck up a defense if he's in situations of weakness. But the idea that this football team is going to be better when the aggregate is a net loss in terms of talent and what they've lost and what they've replaced.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm comfortable in the offensive line. All right. Love Kelvin Beachum. Love DJ Humphreys. Think this new guy they brought in from New York might have a chance.
Will Hernandez.
So I'm cool with the offensive line. The wide receiver, once D-Hop comes back, I'm real curious to see what that looks like. And I do think that Kyler Murray, if he can get to a different place mentally, he can be that dude. But defensively, I don't know, man.
I mean, your point on the pass rush stemming from the Dennis Gardeck question, we saw him in very limited snaps be a real disruptor two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, he tried to play through an injury. Didn't quite, and to hear him say that, you know, you have to believe him because there was no impact from a pass rush standpoint from Gardeck last year. But when things started to go south in wins and losses, that's when the pass rush started to dwindle a little bit. You look at some of the games that they had in terms of pass rush early in the season. 6 sacks in week 1 against Tennessee, that was a win. 5 sacks in week 6 against Cleveland, that was a win. 5 sacks in week 9 against San Francisco, that was a win. The game in Seattle, they had 4 sacks. That was a win. In their losses, the 4 of their last 5 regular season games, 3 sacks against the Rams, decent. 2 against Detroit, 2 against Indianapolis, 1 in the win against Dallas, and then 1 in the loss to Seattle. So the passers really did drop off.
Yeah.
And that remains a question.
Yeah. And that's.
And that was with Chandler Jones on the field.
And I do think that Chandler Jones loss is going to be profound. I think that the.
Not even addressed.
I know.
Like they didn't even. They're not even, you know. That's what's surprising. I mean, addressed in third round of the
draft? And again, and whoever is still out there right now, if he were really worth it or a difference maker on a team, he'd be on a roster by now. So it's. I think they're, you know.
Yeah, I think the more likely solution, like Jarrett pointed out, I mean, they'd spent 2 third-round picks on guys who can rush the passer in Cameron Thomas and Myjai Sanders, and they're unknown commodities at this point.
Well, not to mention also the two first-round picks they have at linebacker that they need to really take a leap this year.
And I've read and I've watched highlights of Cameron Thomas, and I look at him and I go, that could be interesting. And I've done the same thing with Trey McBride, and I've just got to remind myself.
College highlights.
College.
And those guys were doing that, and again, not to demean their college careers, but both of those guys came from Mountain West programs. I mean,
I watched Troy Nicholas in Notre Dame, and he was a monstrously good tight end. Monstrously good. Whiff.
Never made the jump.
Yeah. You can talk yourself into believing all this stuff. Isaiah Simmons, he can play every position on defense for you.
If you can play all of them, can you play one?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? It's going to be fun. I do think that at least the beginning of these voluntary workouts really has kind of harkened the beginning of football. You listen to it this morning, people going on and on. Does Bill Belichick have enough quarterback in Mac Davis? Yeah, and it's all starting.
Mac Davis.
What did I say?
The
Mac
guy from
Davis?
North Mac... Dallas 40. Yeah.
Sorry about that. That's pretty funny.
That guy's like 70-something years old now.
All right.
So does he or does he not?
Right. It is a good question.
Bick's asking the questions that only he can ask.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Davis. That's pretty good.
The deeper we get into the NBA playoffs, the less people want to watch this garbage. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Struz on Celtics defense has been tremendous here at the start. Struz, right hand dribble, Horford waiting for him. White got knocked down. Here's a steal. Ball knocked away from Struz by Horford. Outlet from Pritchard to White. Lob from Tatum.
Man, running well.
It is 16-1.
We're not making any excuses. They outplayed us tonight for sure. We never could get any kind of grip on the game.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights that made it 16-1, 18-1 start for Boston last night in Game 4. They won going away. They won by 20 points. Eric Spoelstra saying, no excuses. They didn't have Tyler Hero. Jimmy Butler tried to play through an injury. Didn't look like himself. He's been devastating at times in these playoffs, but Miami put up really little resistance at all last night. Jimmy Butler said, I'm not making excuses either. I'm fine. I just didn't play very well tonight. This has been... league-wide, it's been a weird postseason. This series in itself has been very strange. Just in terms of players missing games or affected by injury.
Yeah.
In Game 3, had a couple of Boston players leave the floor and come back pretty quickly. They looked like devastating injuries, and they came back. Marcus Smart didn't play last night. Tyler Hero didn't play for Miami. This series, and Boston's postseason, for that matter, has been all over the place in terms of availability. I guess you could say the same for Miami. It's been just weird.
It's been non-competitive, and you look forward to watching these basketball games because you want that rush, that adrenaline rush of a high-stakes game in the final 5 minutes where every possession means something. In Game 2, the Celtics led Miami by 25 points in a game that didn't even look that close.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat jumped out to a 26-point lead in Game 3. Last night, the Celtics had a 36-point lead and started off with an 18-1 lead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's bad. That is really bad.
Two of the teams still alive, actually the four teams still alive competing for a championship, have combined for seven 20-point losses, or at least 20-point losses in this postseason. Miami's got three. Dallas has three. Golden State has won. That was by 39 points to Memphis. Boston is the only team still standing that hasn't lost by 20 or more.
Wow.
They lost their worst loss of the postseason was a game one against Milwaukee. They lost by 12.
And what it's doing...
They were down by like 25 in that... Mm-hmm. They wound up only losing by 7, but that was never close in game two or whatever that was.
Yeah. I've said for a long time I think Boston is the best team in the East, and I was fearing that opponent for the Phoenix Suns at one point in time, but these playoffs in some have been very, very disappointing. Not just locally.
Only one seven-game series, right? It was the Suns series,
uh-huh. And we saw and how that game seven was a joke.
Boston and Milwaukee went to seven as well.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And I was ready to dismiss whoever came out of the West because I was impressed with what was going on in the East, and that was when Milwaukee was still alive. Well, they're out. Miami is obviously strong. Boston's playing good basketball.
Sometimes.
But, yeah, sometimes. But are we? Maybe I discounted Golden State too much. Going back to the end of the regular season, Vic, they're 16-3 in their last 19 games. The Suns over a 19-game stretch going back to the regular season were 9-10. Golden State and people to a man on that team right now are saying this is our best stretch of the year. And it was up and down. They didn't have Klay Thompson for a while. Draymond Green missed a good portion of the season. They were without Curry for times. But now that those guys have all been together,
well,
they look like the championship DNA dynasty Warriors again.
Wow. That's quite an about-face.
I know, but I was like, there was a point late in the regular season where I didn't even consider them that much of a factor because the Suns just pulled away from them in the regular season standings, but they treated it as, hey, we have this time to get our guys healthy
and we'll
flip the switch, and they've done it more than any other team so far.
This will essentially be their sixth straight finals appearance with a healthy team.
Well,
right?
Well, listen, a couple things. What they did is they won game three on the road, which is what the Suns should have done. The Suns, if they would have just won one of those two games in Dallas, they would never have been in the predicament they were in. Mm-hmm. Golden State avoided that, and by going up 3-0 and taking some of those body blows from Dallas, they've kind of proven your point that, oh my goodness, look at this organization. This organization lost KD and is one game away from the NBA Finals. This organization lost Klay Thompson for 2 years, and they're one game away from the NBA Finals. This organization has found guys like Jordan Poole and Gary Payton Jr. and plugged them in. They're getting more from Kevon Looney than the Suns got from DA against Dallas, and everyone's giving them their quote-unquote flowers. I get it. I do. This is the fact that they've been able to do this after losing Kevin Durant is quite something.
Well, that's what spurred a lot of the national shows today, too, to say, wow, does Kevin Durant really regret leaving Golden State now? Because it would have been a tough 2 years to navigate with the injuries they had. Who knows? They'd probably be a playoff team if KD stays in the Bay Area. But you know, Brooklyn got swept. There's been one team swept out of the playoffs so far. I mean, Dallas could be the second tonight. But the Brooklyn Nets were the only team that got swept.
Yeah.
And Golden State is one game away from playing for a championship again. Crazy.
And I'm telling you, if that's going to be, in terms of a soundtrack and what Suns fans do not want to hear, you do not want to hear Warrior fans crowing at the end of all of this.
No.
Just saying.
No, but it's going to be painful to hear any fans crowing if you're a Suns fan.
Mm-hmm.
To the point about the non-competitive playoff games, this tweet was put out by a guy named Justin Fan last night. Last 17 playoff games played this year, average margin of victory has been 19.8 points and a total of 7 clutch time minutes. That has included differentials, 33 points. That was the Suns' Game 7 loss. There's been a 39-point game, a 35-point game, and a 30-point game, a 27, a 28, two 25s, and a 20. There's been one game decided by one possession, a 1 3-point game. I think largely speaking, and I'm not saying this because the Suns aren't in it, this has been a horrible postseason for the NBA. And considering what people are talking about, officiating on a nightly basis, even last night with the one-sided start, but if you look at the free throw differential, Scott Foster was back as a crew chief last night. The free throw differential for Boston was nuts. I'm not saying that's why they won the game, but people are talking about that. People are talking about the Dallas Mavericks bench being a thing. Jason Kidd basically blamed the media for the Mavericks getting fined three times during the playoffs because somebody wrote a story about the Mavericks bench. Can you believe
that? Do you have any what's your theory on why there's so many blowouts in this postseason?
I don't have one. I think it's just one of those statistical anomalies.
Teams shooting more three-pointers, and if they're not making them, then they fall behind quickly.
Or maybe there's a mentality that's infected the entire NBA because of that, because if you're a road team and the other team is shooting the three ball well and you're not, you just tap out. You just go, this isn't our night. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it used to be the staple of NBA basketball that you would get these games that go down to the final 5 minutes or the final 2 minutes, and that unbearable suspense of a live action game going back and forth, where every possession matters is exhilarating, and it's been missing.
And even in the Suns Dallas series, it was so every win was so basically one sided. One of the Suns' strengths, and that was playing in close games all season long, where they could rely on their clutch gene or whatever you want to call it. There was 7 seconds of clutch time, or 3 seconds, it was.
That's not going to cut it.
Just ridiculous stuff.
And so what's going to happen is the ratings are going to take a big hit, and then people who don't like the NBA are going to say, see, that woke league.
Ratings were good in the first round.
Yeah.
If it's Golden State versus Boston.
Yeah.
That'll be good ratings.
I also think that maybe an issue here too. I mean, when you start thinking about the greatest players in basketball, who's left and who's missing?
Yeah, I mean, Golden State can rely on Steph Curry being one of the top stars in the league. Jason Tatum is on his way up. It's Boston, Miami's closest is Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't put him in that echelon.
No,
Luka.
He's going home.
Oh.
Although, again, I do think they win tonight. You can always text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, Cardinal fans are already looking forward to in-season Hard Knocks, but are there players and coaches looking forward to that experience? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We did the All or Nothing, Amazon All or Nothing when I was in Philly. You have mixed emotions, obviously, as a player. You don't want things to get too personal that you don't want out there. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for fans to kind of see what the day-to-day life of an NFL player is like. You know, it's not all the amazing things that happen on Sunday. It's a culmination of a lot of work during the week. Just like fantasy football is mixed emotions for us. It's obviously had a huge impact on the nature of our business, but it's also put a lot of the skill positions in a spotlight. So there's pros and cons to it all, but I'll take it in stride, and hopefully it's not going to distract anyone, and we'll be the best version of ourselves. Hopefully win a lot of games on it for you.
Zach Ertz of the Arizona Cardinals speaking with the media yesterday after the news broke right after we got off the air yesterday that the Cardinals are the team that will be featured on HBO's in-season Hard Knocks. They didn't lay out the timetable, but people who watched last season, I think it started in week 10 for the Colts and carried throughout the end of the regular season, which for them was a bitter end as well. They didn't make the playoffs, and all they needed to do was win one of their last two games, including a game in Jacksonville in the last week of the season. And, I did watch that episode. It was painful. So hopefully the Cardinals can avoid that fate as well.
Right.
Look, I think it's kind of cool for a team that has been defined to a certain degree by those finishes the last 2 years. Cliff Kingsbury talked about, brand recognition. It's great for the brand of the Arizona Cardinals, especially if they can navigate through it and have a better finish than they've had. But Kingsbury also was asked about it yesterday. What could be some of the possible negatives of being featured on the show?
Yeah, I think that's something you have to go through to figure it out. I think each case will be different. But, in my experience, anytime a camera's around, people tend to step up and be on their P's and Q's a little bit more. So I think it can be a real positive that stretch of the season for us.
And on who could be the star of Hard Knocks?
If they could go film Hop while he's suspended, that would be the best TV ever. But I don't think they can. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think there's a lot of kind of really high character men that we get to work with, whether it's staff, coaches, players every day. So just to kind of tell some of their background stories and get to know them on that level, I think it'll be great for our fans.
Yeah, I wonder how
What was the joke about D-Hop? What did that mean?
that he hopes cameras can go catch him during his suspension?
That would make the best television of whatever he's up to.
Is it a particularly interesting guy, or is it because they want to know what he's doing while he's suspended?
Oh, maybe that's
That's how I interpret it.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't register with me away either.
Me neither.
But hopefully that suspension doesn't get carried out until when the cameras do start following the Cardinals.
It would be interesting because they do in between the...
He said doo-doo.
I do.
Vince, I thought
the same thing. Y'all caught that, huh? I've dragged you all into the...
into the doo-doo.
The mud-like substance. But because in between when they have, like, you know, the practice and the game day preparation and stuff, they do the features on the players, you know, a day in a life kind of a deal. That part would be interesting to see Kyler Murray, because we really don't know very much.
We don't know much
about his personal
anything. We
life,
don't know much about anything about their internal vibe, what this team looks and sounds like. We know so much about the Suns in that regard, and we don't about the Cardinals. So I agree with you. I think this is going to be fascinating given their lack of transparency. And I'm not using it in a negative term. I just think that when the owner speaks, there's a very careful, he's very, very careful to always say the right thing. The head coach is clearly not all that comfortable with seizing that platform and making it and using it to his advantage, like the way BA was. So I think a lot of the stuff that we don't know isn't necessarily because they're trying to freeze us out. I just think it's the makeup of the people that are running that franchise right now. But I do think that if you're going to lean into a team of drama, this isn't a bad one to choose.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is Hard Knocks means they'll go to a line, but the NFL's not, if there's anything really, really bad, the NFL's not going to air it. That won't allow that to happen. That's the difference between that series on Netflix on F1. They just air everything to the point where there's like drivers, top drivers in F1 that won't even talk to those cameras. Would want no part of it. And so there's going to be a difference. So there is a safety net. I don't think it's going to be as post-produced as All or Nothing was. So, but I do think that this is, I think this is good. I'm going to be very interested in this.
Yeah, going back to the Kyler Murray question, right now, considering everything we know and don't know about Kyler Murray, and I think his situation, obviously, contract-wise, will be worked out by then, I would be shocked for the cameras to get much access to Kyler Murray off the field. He just seems that guarded about things like that. And who knows? Maybe if he gets his contract, that his mentality changes a little bit and becomes more open. Well, I don't know.
And again, the idea, what Cliff is saying might have some truth to it, because even though it sounds weird, like, do you really need cameras in our midst, in our inner sanctum, to get the best, I hate the saying that Zacherts used, the best version of ourselves? But at the same time, you're also talking about a team that's wildly unpredictable. There came a time when you didn't know what you were going to get from this team. And so maybe this will provide a little bit of artificial focus.
But yeah, I
don't know.
About unlikely candidates, too. And you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins during the suspension. He's a guy, too, that, I don't know. There's an air of mystery about him off the field, isn't there? And I don't mean that in a negative way. We just don't know a ton about him as a human being.
Mm-mm.
I'd like to see some of that. What were you going to say, Jared?
What I was going to say was that when Cliff said that in his experience, you know, the cameras will make everyone mind their P's and Q's, sort of like behave. That's if you have those type of guys. Cameras could also make people play to the camera. Could also make people get distracted by the camera. Like, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're just going to behave better. It could have just the opposite.
It's a great point. Personalities get thrown into the mix. We have cameras in the studio here, and when the cameras get turned on and they focus on you, I immediately get uncomfortable. Now, if a camera were to point at Jarrett during the show, he would be one of those guys that would start dancing. And
can you imagine, Jarrett?
Oh, right, he would. Oh my goodness.
We should do a Hard Knocks type show for this show.
Oh, that is a tremendous idea.
Yeah.
We are doing that now, and you're going to be participating.
Wow, that was...
And it's decided.
What an easy negotiation that was.
I need $45 million, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not showing up for day one until I get my money. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, oh, before we get to that, I want to remind you that it's time for A Character Counts, brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Mercury Center Brittany Griner continues to receive support while being detained in Russia. In honor of Griner's work in the community, USA Basketball joined the WNBA family in supporting BG's Heart and Soul Shoe Drive, donating more than 75 pairs of new or gently worn sneakers to the Springs Rescue Mission. Founded in 2016, BG's Heart and Soul Shoe Drive was the idea of Griner herself, who saw a need and was moved to action. On her drive home from practice one day, she saw unhoused persons in the Arizona summer without shoes. This led to the Mercury organization establishing a shoe drive, engaging its X Factor fan base and BG's teammates, and partnering with local nonprofit Phoenix Rescue Mission. If you want to participate, donate new or gently used shoes of all sizes throughout the 2022 season at Mercury home games at Footprint Center. That is Character Counts, brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Coming up next, we delve into social studies on our Twitter account at Bickley_Murata with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.